How many of you have had the dilemma of not knowing how to go about doing that? Sunday is wonderful. We are so high at worship. Everything is wonderful. The choir sings beautifully. The sermon is meaningful. People are friendly. We have coffee. We go home. And it's not real cool at home. And Monday is even worse. And we've so often heard, thank God it's Friday. We get to go home and we don't have to go back to work for 2 whole days. But now we can look at a book that's called Thank God It's Monday. And Bill Deal wrote this. It's the second of his books about the ministry of the laity in the world. His first book was written in 1976. It's called Christianity in Real Life. And with that book began a movement within the Lutheran Church in America, which has spread to the other Lutheran bodies, also called the Laos in Ministry. Laos in Ministry is a supportive movement. It is sponsored by the church now. It is backed by the Division for Mission of North America. And it simply means the whole people of God, which is what the word Laos means, the whole people of God in ministry. I serve on the national resource team for the church, and I'm spending a year up here, so I'm able to have sort of captive audiences, which is wonderful. I want to ask you some questions to start with. Now, usually I don't have this many people here, so I didn't run off nearly enough sheets, but that's probably fine. We'll just do it by raising hands. If you are a reader of magazines, you are probably familiar with those little tests to rate yourself on such topics as whether your marriage can be saved or whether you could live happily in Cape Cod on $100,000 a year. This is a quiz for laypersons, which might be called an attitudinal analysis of current concepts of ministry, or can the church be saved? Ready? Raise your hand if you think this statement is true. I usually refer to the church as they, as in, they are looking for Sunday school teachers, or they are always asking for money, or they need someone else on the committee. Is that a true statement for anybody? The church is they. Okay? The minister is the one who is really responsible for what goes on in the church. Everybody who says yes, raise your hand. No takers on that one. Number 3, if anyone feels a call to serve full time, he or she should be ordained. How many yeses? They should be ordained if they feel a call to be in service full time for the church. Okay, no takers on that either. Gee. Number 4, the more meetings you go to, the better layperson you are. Any yeses? I can't do lay ministry because I have no training or leadership ability. Anybody feel they don't have enough ability or leadership to be a lay minister? Lots of hands. We'll talk about that. The next one, I couldn't take an office on the church council or in synod because all those ministers know so much more than I do. How many of us have not taken an office because the ministers know more? Couple of hands. I have to work all day long, so I have no time for church work. How many of us use that? Okay? At least we're honest, that's great. The last time I was sick, the minister didn't come to call, so the church doesn't care about me anyway. Any yeses? The minister didn't come to call.
He didn't know.
He didn't know. Okay. If you have marked or raised your hand for even one true answer, you are probably suffering from creeping clericalism and should see your New Testament immediately. And And what does the New Testament say? Well, in 1 Peter it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Okay, what does it mean to be a member of the royal priesthood? What does it mean to be in the priesthood? Does that mean we are priests?
No.
Does it mean we are ministers?
No.
Yes, it does, you say. Tell us more about that. Can you tell us a little more?
Well, I think it means that everyone is called to do the Lord's work.
She says everyone is called to do the Lord's work. How many of us are called to do the Lord's work? Does that make us a minister? Who says yes, it does? Tell us why.
We're all ministers.
Because?
We're the body of Christ.
We're the body of Christ. Why are we baptized? Are we baptized for what?
Service.
We are baptized for service. Service means ministry. Right. Okay. Now, don't be confused that we are ordained clergy or ordained ministers, but we are indeed ministers. We all have a ministry. Ministry is serving others. Okay?
And the more work that you do in the church and the more involved you become, the more that you learn you are the church, and if you don't do the job, it just plain doesn't get done.
Good. Thank you. Did you hear that? She said the more you do, the more you realize that you are the church. The people are the church. And if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. Okay, we're going to focus now on ministry in the world. There is ministry in our church building. We have to be ministers within the institutional church. We're involved with worship and altar guilds and a host of other things within the institutional church to keep it going, and that's wonderful. There is the work of Christ through the institutional church, which means through your own church into the greater church, the districts, the synods, whatever you call your institutional areas that are beyond your local church, and that's important work. There is also the work of Christ by the members of the body in their own daily arenas of living. 99% of the ministers are lay people. Only 1% of ministers are ordained. How in the world can we expect the work of the church to be done by 1% while 99% sits around and says it's they? So, Jesus did not tell us to go and do. He said, do as you go, wherever you are to do, and you are to be my witness, wherever you happen to be. Whether it's in a factory, in a store, while you're grocery shopping, while you're visiting anybody, any place, in a neighborhood situation, no matter what your station, no matter what your vocation or occupation, you are doing as you go. And if you say you are a Christian, what is the alternative? You can be a bad minister, I suppose, and not do a very good job of it. Can't we? Or we can do the best we can, and that's what Jesus expects us to do. To be faithful, not successful. But be faithful to him and his calling. I want to read you a little story from a pastor's newsletter, which I found very helpful and very meaningful, since it was written by a pastor. And sometimes pastors have a hard time understanding the ministry of laypersons. It's been a long time for a lot of them since they were lay people. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? The wicked witch wanted to know who was most beautiful. I'd like to know who is most minister. Tell me, mirror. Is the most minister Susan Briel, who was installed as part of the pastoral team at Our Savior's Lutheran Church? She is trained for ministry, called for ministry, ordained for ministry, and now she's installed for ministry. What about it, mirror? Or is the most minister Carl Dahl? Carl retired about 40 years ago at Georgia Pacific. To whom was he minister? How many new people did he help through the first days on a job? How many times did he say words of encouragement or forgiveness or hope? It was all ministry. Was it the most? What about it, mirror? Martin Wells. Perhaps he is the most minister. Martin is the other part of the team that serves as pastor at Our Savior's. Like his wife, Susan, Martin is trained, called, ordained, installed. All of that for ministry? Come on, mirror, speak up. Is it Martin who is most minister? On Saturday, Catherine May will be honored for her work as Director of Senior Services of Whatcom County. Now, mirror, perhaps she is most minister of all. She served and served well. A priest for how many people needing the affirming, healing, social gifts of that organization so carefully shepherded by Catherine? Is it Catherine? Say the truth, mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the most minister? Is it Richard who hands out the towels at the YMCA? Is it the waitress who has a smile on her face each morning? Is it the police officer who drives around in the dark of night to watch for the welfare of those who are safely asleep? Is it Joan who types, or Ariel who sings, or Daryl who plays, or Gilbert who is bishop, or John Paul who is pope? Is it one of them who is most minister? Is it a child who giggles, or the one who will share the hurt of another? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is most minister? And finally, the mirror speaks. Listen, dummy. Most is not even a category of ministry. There are only different ministries. God intends each for its place in all of God's scheme. So stop asking questions of mirrors on the wall. No one is most minister. Everyone has gifts to offer. And I'm wondering how many of us understand that. I'd like you now to go with me on a little journey with our eyes closed. So just relax. I want you to think in your mind of two different things that you did this past week before you came to Holden. Two things. Keep them a little bit separate in your mind. Now that you know what the two things are that you're thinking about, I'd like you to remember who you did them with, if indeed anyone was around. Who else was there at each one of these things you're remembering? Now remember why you were doing whatever you were doing. What was the cause? Why were you doing it? Think of the why for each one of those two. And after you've thought of the why, think of the result or a feeling that went along with what you were doing. How did you feel about it? Or what was the result? And when you've finished your little story, remembering your little story, that is, You can open your eyes, and I want you to turn to your neighbor, and turn to a different neighbor if it's a spouse sitting beside you, because we're going to share these little stories. There's a lot of people in the room, so we'll have to talk a little bit softly or we'll go bananas. So share your two stories. And share your story, just briefly, of what you did, who it was with, why, and what happened as a result.
We found out that just about five or six of us all belonged to the same activity.
Five or six all belong
all
to the same?
All these ladies that I don't even know, but I've met.
You do quilting, right?
Yes, right.
How many of us are quilters? Look at your hands go up. Wonderful. So your activity and your story was quilting. And you did it with probably, were you by yourself or in a group?
In a group.
Why'd you do it?
To give to Lutheran World Relief.
And what's the feeling or the result of all that work?
It's a blessing. It's a pleasure, really.
So you really derive pleasure? And
ask these ladies. Maybe they have to.
Maybe it's no pleasure for them.
She's doing very well. Friendships.
Any more? From the, this is, we're just dealing with the quilting story.
Providing for the needy.
For the needy. Service then. Service project.
Yeah. Rewarding feeling.
Yeah. Rewarding.
It's witnessing too, because others find out about it.
Another story, yes?
I would say love for others.
Love. Another story. Anybody?
So from Lutheran headquarters, you can get pictures, slides on this, which is very good if you want to show it at your LCW and like that. It's good advertising, showing how rich we are.
Good. Thank you. Another story.
I went visiting the sick, or it was a nursing home.
Were you with someone or by yourself?
By myself. But there were many there who I visited. Our church happens to have a number of them at that very home.
What was the result?
Well, they're always so glad to see me. And I'm always blessed seeing them.
So. Other stories. What's some other things we did?
I wrote a letter. That's the senior high person that I worked with this time.
What was the result of that?
A letter back.
I wrote it because I was concerned about that person's welfare,
compassion, to find out how the intervention went.
Keep a friendship going?
Yeah, it's a new one, I guess, to allow that person to feel that they can contact me.
Reaching out, sort of. Yes?
I watched a baby be born.
Watched a baby get born. Wow. Wonderful. Watched a birth. Did you know the person?
My niece.
Your niece. Were you alone or were you with someone else at the time?
Her mother.
Her mother.
It was her first.
So
it was joy for them. And then as soon as the joy sorrow because I can't have children. I've been married 20 years.
Oh, so there was, it's kind of a double, okay. Other feelings?
Guilt.
Guilt. Yes?
I blew up 300 balloons for our Sunday school. Ah!
Were you with anyone?
Yes, the study school superintendent.
So there was some fellowship going on at the same time?
And then we get the cards back, and then, now this is in Idaho Falls, and we had one balloon last year go all the way to Nebraska, and then we send those people back. And they return.
So it was a real service project.
We get 5 or 6 back.
Any other feelings besides fun and fellowship?
Pretty.
Pretty. So you were
people watching those balloons.
Okay.
You said juice balloon? That has to be helium or something like that.
Right. Any other story? What did you do, sir?
I thought this lady here and I thought you brought a good point.
Yeah,
her grandchildren.
Let's listen to, should we listen now for a minute?
Her grandchildren came to her for her to mend some.
Get ready for school.
Get ready for school and mend some.
Mending.
But the point was the impact of their wanting the grandma to do something nice, and her doing it is a way in which they were taught that they themselves must perhaps in the future give as well as receive. Mm-hmm. And if we don't show that on our part, a willingness to give out of love, then maybe they won't have the tendency to give out of love at some other future date.
How true.
So I think that was the impact of her action. Mm-hmm.
We
are. I'm sure that'll be the impact of her action on the future. And after all, the Christianity has to have a future as well as a present. And the youngsters, of course, are the future.
How many of us really remember all the time that we are models for others? Whatever we do is really crucial to other people, because especially younger people. They certainly see, and they certainly love as they are loved. We all do that, don't we? As we are treated, so we treat others.
They almost used to say, just thank you, Grammy. I said, I've got to have something else now. So they usually give me a hug or a kiss.
Yeah, that's right.
And, so they are getting accustomed to being hugged at that moment, mm-hmm. and then they see their mother and daddy hug each other. So that's good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Christ.
Exactly. Did you all hear that? Thank you. What about your story? You told her story. What about yours?
Well, the one I told her was we had a guest minister who was concerned with the ministry of dealing with people in low incomes, getting housing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I was saying that we are. So many times, many different things are brought to our attention where they want not only financial support, but other kinds of support. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we fail to do either because we just set it aside and say, oh, there's so much of this I just am uninterested in. I can't pull out from the mass anything I want to take hold of. So we were invited to stay after the service and propose questions or listen to additional information concerning what the project was about. Well, a few of us did stay, and the result was that by extending our background about this need we were in a better position to appreciate the need itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that ought to have an impact of inspiring us to show more concern, if not a more immediate action.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, is a part of that particular kind of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And if we dump our interest in everything that comes by, then of course we are mm-hmm. kicking any form of ministry out of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Yes?
Mine has to do with the going into a new retirement home that hadn't had any setup as far as rules and regulations and functions of the council and so forth. My years of experience in that type of thing, we developed an organization chart, rules and regulations and functions, and write-up of all this for a booklet to be given to all the people that come into the retirement home and also for those that are in there. So that was quite a satisfaction.
So in retirement, you're using some of your skills and gifts from your active vocational life and transferring those to volunteer services. And it's wonderful, because many of those organizations can't afford to hire the expertise that so many older folks have already got, but the money's not the issue for them anymore. They have all this wonderful knowledge and all these wonderful skills. How many of you share in that way, the skills that you had in your vocational life, or your occupational life, sharing those same things now as a volunteer? Lots of us. That's wonderful. It's such a shame to put those on the shelf and not use them. Yes?
Our family supports a college student who doesn't get much financial or emotional support from home. Buy them a couple pairs of shoes.
Great. A good way to serve. Just think what the impact of that, you know, sort of small amount of support, what impact that will have on that person the rest of his life or her life.
Yeah, we get plenty back from him too,
though. I'll bet, yeah. That's the way it is, isn't it? The more you give, the more you get. So, these are examples of what?
Service.
Ministry. Ministry. Service. And more specifically, of ministry. Because we are Christians and we are baptized to be ministers. And are these the same kinds of ways Jesus ministered? Can't you just see him blowing up 300 balloons? Sure he would. Wouldn't he? Sure. He would do all of these, wouldn't he? And he would be, I mean, he is, and not wouldn't be, but he is pleased that we do these things, because we are, as the lady said, little Christs. What else was happening for you as you shared your stories with other folks in this group? What was that?
Getting acquainted with someone
else. Getting acquainted, sharing. What else were we doing?
Communicating,
listening. What is ministry? Ministry is mostly listening, isn't it? When you think of the people who are most ministers to you, it's because they will listen, right? So what was happening in the group just now? What was it? What was it?
With
ministry. Thanks, Kathleen. Ministry, right. Right. Whenever two or more are gathered, there's ministry happening. Now, there's another way to think of ministry. How many of you in your lives of work had fairly mundane jobs that you really couldn't classify as ministry? How many of you? What was your job?
I worked in the shops back east.
In the shops. Others?
Well, the summer jobs, I worked running a drill press. You could do it in your sleep. Pick up one piece of metal and put it in a jig and then pull down a lever and six holes were drilled into it and then pull it out. Throw in a box and keep on doing that 8 hours.
Not too meaningful, huh?
Not at all. I could even write a book in my mind while I was doing that.
What else did we do that wasn't much?
One summer I washed pots and pans in a TV sanatorium.
Not too rewarding, personally, right? What are some others?
Delivering the mail.
Delivering the mail.
On a rural route.
Kind of a lonesome, thankless. What else?
Detasseling corn.
I was raised on a chicken farm and I had to candle eggs before I could go to school in the morning. Find blood spots in eggs. Fun. Other things that just really seemed like the pits.
I worked in a shirt factory when I was a junior in high school one summer, and I learned how to fold men's shirts, 5 pins to a shirt.
You'll never forget that, right?
I was so bored. I said I'd never work in a factory again.
Did you ever?
No, I didn't.
Any others? Dull, boring jobs.
Cleaning house.
It wouldn't be so bad if it could be once and for all and you'd be done and forever. And it would always stay that way. What about these jobs?
Not much salary for that house cleaning job.
Not much salary for that house cleaning job. Boy, I guess not. What about these dull, boring jobs?
You appreciate the better job when you get it. Someone said they have to be done by somebody. What would Jesus say? How does it fit into ministry? I mean, how can we say, sure, I'm a minister all day long and all I'm doing is changing these dumb diapers?
Somebody benefits from that.
Who benefits from it?
The baby.
The baby? What about folding shirts and counting 5 pins for a shirt all day? The customer buys the shirt and it's folded neatly and let's listen for a minute. Could be, yeah.
You make lots of friends
on the job, whether it's dull or not. You can turn it around, can't you? Yeah. Okay, there's a relationship that can develop with your coworkers, aside from providing you with the wherewithal to survive.
Maybe a promotion
will come if you do a good job. There's always incentives for that. What else?
I
want
to be the boss because I know what everybody thought
about
the boss.
But could you be a good boss? Do bosses have to be bad? So in the larger scheme of things, it has a lot to do with what? Attitude. A lot to do with attitude. And we can have a good attitude or we can have a lousy attitude, can't we? And it's all how we look at things. And if we are Christian and looking at things from a Christian perspective, we will have a different attitude than the person who is not looking at it from that perspective. I'm going to read you just a brief paragraph. Salty Christians, an excellent little book by Hans Rudi Weber. Excellent little book, $1.95. Should all have it. Winston Seabury Press is the place to get it if you are interested. Three masons were building a cathedral. When they were asked what they were doing, the first mason answered, "I am putting one stone on another in order to build a wall." The second said, "I am working so that I can purchase food and clothing for myself and my family." But the third mason said, "I am building a house of God so that people may come and worship and be joyful." They were all doing the same task, but they all had a different perspective on what they were doing. So I'd like you to just Did I hear something? The story reveals three quite different attitudes toward life and work. We can live and work mechanically, putting one stone on another, so to speak, adding one day to the other, so to speak, or we can live and work for ourselves, our family, for the small world of our family and friends. But as Christians, we have another dimension in our lives. While doing routine work, such as tilling the ground or washing the dishes or being a doctor, we are called to help build a world in which people can worship God and be joyful. We've heard a lot the last year or two on the global village. Have you heard all that term at all in the last year or two? The global village, meaning we are part of a whole world. We are not one little country called the United States of America with self-serving ideologies and self-serving things going on just for us. The world is much too small, we have discovered, to be self-contained. We are part of God's total universe, and this is another aspect of that universe. Now, in the last few minutes, we need to go back to our little test that we took and talk about some of those answers that we raised our hands on. One of them that got the most yeses was, I usually refer to the church as they, as in they are looking for Sunday school leaders, or they are always asking for money. Who is the church?
We.
So how can it be they? I can't do lay ministry because I have no training or leadership ability. Do we have to be well trained? We were just doing ministry a few minutes ago, almost by accident, weren't we? And that's usually the way it's the best, by accident. Do we have to have leadership ability to be lay ministers? Do we have to be leaders to do that? How many of you would raise your hand if I asked you if you were a leader? Are you a leader? And yet, how many were doing ministry? So we don't have to be leaders, do we? We don't have to be out in the forefront. We don't have to have a lot of skills. Doesn't take skills at all. I couldn't take an office in council or synod because all those ministers are so much more knowledgeable than I am. Does it take knowledge to be a minister? See, that's a kind of a trick question because it says all those ministers. Now, if we decided that we are ministers, who are those ministers? They're we. They're us. I have to work all day, so I have no time for church work. We got a few hands on that. Somebody who raised their hand want to respond to that?
I work 6 days a week, usually 62 hours to 69 hours. Most of the time I don't get up on Sunday to go to church.
Mm-hmm. Where's the church?
Good question.
Who's the church?
I am.
And where are you 6 days a week?
On the mail route.
On the mail route. Is that ministry?
To those I get their checks to and do the mail right.
What more important person in the whole world than the mail person?
The one I was for.
How many say that's about the most important thing in your life? If you didn't have any way to get any mail, especially I think as we get older and don't get around visiting so much anymore, the families move away. You don't want your junk mail, huh? How many of you think the mailman is almost the most important person that comes around every day? What do you?
I should have them on my mail.
You might.
Yes.
You don't know if they might see you.
Because you didn't get your mail.
I
How are you feeling? That's great. There is a lot of goodness to it. I'm surprised how many people do thank me. Because I see them so seldom, unless there's something that needs to be signed for, because there are no streets. They're very rural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think in a rural setting, people are even more grateful because they're much more isolated.
Yes.
They depend.
You find how many people watch for the mailman when they
arrive. Yeah. The mail truck didn't come to Holden today. The mailbag didn't come in and everybody was upset. Yes?
I used to like all the junk mail with that man's wife. At least the mailman stopped. Bobby
doesn't look at it. Junk mail's better than no mail.
Keep those cookies and apples in the mailbox coming.
Did you hear that, folks? Keep the cookies in the mailbox, cookies and apples in the mailboxes coming too. We need to express appreciation, not just in the class like this.
Our mailman stops and looks at our knife sale.
Another place they look for the mail is the nursing home.
At nursing homes they look for, oh, wow, I would say so, yeah. I don't know of anybody who doesn't want to get mail. From the time that you're young enough to know what it's all about to get mail, when you're little and tiny, or when you're really old, it's so important, and all the way in between. It's so important. Well, even to get your bills and keep your house in order financially, you depend on the mail.
Pension checks.
Pension checks. Well, I think before she gets too puffed up, we'll move on. A couple other little vignettes of people in ministry before we close. Turning my small town needlework shop into a place where friends and strangers alike will feel a warmth, a concern, indeed a love for them, whatever their background. That's my ministry. My shop has a nook in the back room where three or four people can sit, stitch, and talk. I seem to have a knack for sharing jobs and concerns. Maybe it's because I work hard at listening. More and more people are seeking out this back room nook. More and more it's becoming my base for ministry. Even when tourists and other strangers drop by to browse, I try to reach out to them, make them feel welcomed. Hopefully they will leave with a feeling that someone cares. For years, my ministry was impersonal, sometimes lost in conventional institutional ministries. I have added a whole new dimension, a very personal dimension, Monday, Thursday, every day of my week. This was written by Gail Spar, who lives in Thurmont, Maryland. She turned a little needlework shop into a place of conversation in her back room. She still had her needlework shop, people still come and buy stuff from her. But she also had a place for relationships. A really neat story. This lady's ministry is helping the 7 caseworkers in her public assistance office struggle with the problems of people. People who have no job, no food, no clothes, and often no hope. When you meet people like this, day in, day out, it can become terribly discouraging. There seems to be so much need and so little resources to stretch. These caseworkers feel like frontline soldiers fighting the war on poverty. Routinely, they cope with fear, desperation, shame, hostility, and aggression. Working among these caseworkers, I feel like a medic going around trying to patch up people by calming, cheering, listening, and interpreting as best I can. Everyone goes home emotionally and physically exhausted. Overnight, I have to get recharged. In the morning, I go back to my ministry, trying to show that Christ's love exists even under the most difficult conditions and situations. A real struggle for the head of this caseworker load. A real depressing situation. Not only are they trying to help all these people who are really down and out, but they themselves need encouragement in dealing with that struggle. You can't always be giving. You have to also get recharged yourselves. And sometimes we end up in the servant role so exhausted that we have nobody left to recharge our batteries. And we can get really down about that. How many of you sometimes
give of yourself in all these situations so much, and there's nobody to feed you. Have you ever been in that situation? We need support systems. We need lots of support. That's my Saturday session, which I didn't intend to plug, but we will be talking about support. Where do we get support in our struggle to be ministers? And how do we give our own ordained minister in our church support? How alone can they be in all their struggling to help others in their congregation? Where do they get their support? Sometimes it's real tough, really tough. It's tough also to accept the ministry of others. We are very independent and staunch and self-sufficient. And it's hard sometimes to admit that we need ministry, we need others, and we need care and concern. And we have to let people minister to us as much as we are happy to minister to them. That can be harder, to let someone minister to us. How many of you have had a hard time sometimes letting somebody really care about you? We are so able to take care of ourselves, aren't we? Sometimes.
I don't think we stop to think like the pastor, you know. I mean, we get depressed and we have bad times. A couple weeks ago, our pastor got up and announced that he had been going through a real bad depression for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I had been going through it too, and I felt guilty. I felt like I wasn't being a good Christian. So when we had the council meeting after church, which we do in the summertime, we have them right after church, I told the pastor, I says, "Oh, pastor, you just made me feel so good." I says, "I felt so guilty." And I says, "Now I know even the pastor gets depressed."
Nice to know we're all human, isn't it?
Yeah.
My ministry is managing the marketing division of a retail and wholesale gift company. Decisions need to be made about stock, inventories, competitive bids, product quality, advertising, selling expense, sales and earnings, return on capital, etc., etc. Ministry is making these decisions consciously based on my Christian values of stewardship and creation. Stewardship of creation, human justice and dignity, separation and reconciliation, and on sound business judgment. In all of this chaos, my ministry is also listening to people with whom I work. Not only listening, but making a special effort to hear what they are saying and what they are feeling. I try to remain aware of the equal value of every person, no matter what rung they occupy on our organizational chart. I try to care. The corporate world is my Monday to Friday arena for ministry. Sometimes it is tough to view my division, my company, as part of the worldwide community of God's creation. Ministry is a full-time occupation. Sometimes it's really hard to view the business world as part of God's creation. And often, especially for us Lutherans, we have stayed away from the connection of political things going on in our legislature or corporate business things. Those were things of the devil somehow, not to be concerned about them in the relationship of all of God's creation. How is the business world created to God, or linked with God, or created for Him, by Him, with Him? You know, you want to, there's no right and yet right or wrong answer. You just look like you wanted to say something. What if we didn't have businesses that made the clothing that we need to fold to put the 5 pins in, for instance? Or the man to fill our car with gas. What if there weren't no places like that? They're very much a part of God's creation. And we must be good stewards of that creation. If we have a factory that's polluting the air, we must take a second look at what we can do about that. But that doesn't mean the factory's bad, does it? We have to have the factory providing jobs for people, for one thing, and for the products that it makes. So we need to think of all of life as God's creation, and all of life as ministry, all of life as a stewardship. And it's time for dinner. Thank you for coming.